the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. On the left, but drops of grease can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Well, it sure is good to be here tonight with everybody. I want to ask my dad if he would to maybe open us in prayer. Amen. You can be seated. I appreciate y'all guys being here tonight. And Pastor and Miss Hart, they're up in Maine visiting with their new grandbaby. And so let's be in prayer for them for safety as they travel. And I know, Lord willing, I've got some prayer requests here too. And he included some more travel prayer requests that he had. He'll be traveling. Pastor will be traveling 10 hours on Friday to get a bus in D.C. area, and then followed by another 8-hour trip from there home. I asked if he was going to make Miss Hart drive that bus back, but he just sniggered at that. But let's be in prayer for that, and that God would put his hand of protection around our pastors. They're up in Maine visiting their family. This time I'll ask the ushers if they would to please come. Brother Daniel texted me before we came in here today, and he asked me why the toad, I think it's something similar to this, or why the frog took the church bus to church. You know why, Brother Caleb? Because his vehicle was towed. That's what he I'm not very good on the jokes, but I try. But would you mind to pray for us, brother? Thank you, Miss Emma, for that. And as I previously mentioned, let's please be in continuing prayer for our pastor as he's gone. And then also let's pray for Miss Sharon O'Dell. She's in the hospital. And then also Kendra Coger text pastor this afternoon and asked that we would remember pretty much her whole family, Cody, Patrick, Emma, some coworkers, and the students at her school. A lot of them are ate up with the flu right now, so let's just be in prayer for that. And I think her mother might be sick too. She's going to the doctor as well. So flu going around again. I don't like that this time of year for that reason there. But Anybody else? Oh, yeah, plus two, Sandy's brother, Bill Edmonds. Let's be in remembrance for him. But anybody else with a prayer request? Mom. So my mother would like for us to pray for Robin Hatcher. And Brother Lafferty, did I see your hand go up?
For my wife, Melissa, and my brother, David, and my brother-in-law, Thomas Miller.
He wants to, Brother Lafferty wants us to pray for his wife, Melissa, and his Thomas Miller, and then also David. Anybody else with a request? Brother Austin.
Yeah, I work with Jeremy James. He got the flu, and it turned into pneumonia in his left lung. And just encourage me, please.
Okay. Brother Austin wants us to pray for one of his coworkers, Jeremy James. He's gotten pneumonia now in one of his lungs. Let's pray for him for healing. Miss Carolyn. Carolyn Perkins wants us to pray for Nate Mayo, and then also Jenny, one of the co-workers of her son. And also she had an important unspoken request she'd made mention of. Anybody else? Miss Vicki? Miss Vicky's got to have an injection done tomorrow, or is it tomorrow, you said, in Princeton? And then also she wants us to remember her family in prayer. She lost her mother maybe a week or so ago, Miss Wood. Anybody else with a request? Miss Zoanne? Okay. Miss Zoanne would like for us to pray for Dina. She's sick. Did Sean give her that stuff he had? Let's pray for her. Anybody else? Right here. Roman Fox. Amen. Miss Sue wants us to pray for Roman. Anybody else? I thought I seen another hand. Miss Stormy? Wow. Yeah. Now you said it's Joe's stepdad. Okay, let's be praying for him. He had slipped in this ice and fell and hurt his back, so let's be in prayer for him as well. Anybody else? What about an unspoken request that maybe the Lord knows your heart and you'd like to just raise your hand there? Okay, anybody else? All right, we at this time I ask Brother Davis if he would to come and read us a mission letter from Brother Bates. Brother Bates was with us this past summer. We just came through and helped us with our bus ministry a little bit, and he's got a update letter from him. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. And after that, would you pray, please?
Yes, sir. Have a letter here. Bus ministry helpers, Brother John, Miss Christina, and Miss Gracie Bates, December 2025. I'll do my best to summarize. It's a front and back, and you know how Brother John, how he gives the details about everything. It says here, our visit with Pastor Ballou at Keystone Baptist Church in Newcastle, Pennsylvania on August the 10th went great. The Lord sure is blessing that new church plant with lots of growth, salvations, and weekly new visitors. It's so exciting to see a brand new work begin and all the enthusiasm that surrounds it. And they're praying the Lord would lead them to be able to help that church in the future. Prior to the visit to Newcastle, Pennsylvania, they made a plan in early August to go and see their granddaughter in Ohio. That morning, they were driving, and Brother John didn't have a place to go to church that night, so they went on to visit with their granddaughter, and said going to visit their granddaughter. He swapped seats with his wife, let his wife drive, and he's on the computer searching for a fundamental Bible preaching church that they can attend services on that evening. So on the drive up there, and he said he just did not have peace about any church that he found online. So they went to visit their granddaughter there, spent some time, and plugged in on their GPS the return route, and instead of directing them south on 77, it directed them south on 79. Well, Brother John swaps seats with his wife again, as the letter reads. She's driving, and he's searching for churches on Highway 79, and he looks at the clock, and he looks at where they're at, and Washington, Pennsylvania. They could be in Washington, Pennsylvania by 6:07. I'll continue reading here. After a must stop at Burt's Hot Dog Shop, so if you're ever in that area, look up Burt's Hot Dog Shop, Bergenstown, Pennsylvania, a quick bite to eat and then to change clothes, we walked in the front door of Park Avenue Baptist Church at 6:57, just to be met at the door by the warm handshake of Pastor Dan Leonard. Now, Brother Bates had no contact with Park Avenue Baptist Church, doesn't know this pastor, and here's the way the letter reads. Once it was announced that we were missionaries helping in the bus ministries, Pastor Dan said, "I have just been praying about our bus ministry. We need to talk after church." Long story short, a few phone calls and many days of continual prayer, God gave the marching orders for us to yoke up with this new body of believers. It is truly amazing how God can lead his people if we would just simply trust, follow, and obey him without seeing the end results. We may never see victory otherwise. I want you to think about that. Just picking a church out, not having peace going to this church or that church or this church or that church, but seeking God and where you're going to go for an evening service, and then some reason the GPS directs them another way and seeking the Lord, and that's exactly where God would have them to go to meet a pastor that they did not know at a church they'd never been to, so that they could then help that pastor and that church in their bus ministry. I won't give you all of the letter here, but here's another excerpt here. The work here at Park Avenue Baptist Church is incredible. On our first day of arrival, we picked up three faithful teen riders, three, that have been coming for 3 years. Even though the numbers are down, Pastor Dan was very discouraged in the work. He kept the wheels rolling on a 30-passenger bus, picking up three riders. All right? Hats off to you, my friend. He's speaking, of course, to the pastor. We bussed in 40 new riders over the last 3 months. If you add up all the riders of each trip together, it's a total of 290. Faith has been built, hope has been given, salvation has been received, this church has been charged, teens have surrendered to service, and God has been glorified. Thanks be to God. Serving in this bus ministry, the team consisted of two drivers, Pastor Dan and Brother John Morris. Two teen helpers, Pastor Dan's children, and then two other teen helpers from the church. Please pray as they plow the fields together in unity to rescue souls by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. They feel like the Lord has them finished there. December 7th, they left the Park Avenue Baptist Church, and on that Sunday, they brought in 21 riders to hear the gospel presentation on December 7th of this past year from 3 to 21. Let's pray for the Bates family. He gives some information here about some troubles that they had trying to find a place to park their camper. We may think of it as a holiday travel trailer or something like that, but that's their house. Everything they have is in that trailer. He hit a deer with his car in September. And made all the move and everything like that, people trailering for him and dragging this here and parking that there. And you can read in the letter of how God worked all of that out. Let's pray for the John Bates, his family, and his dear daughter as they labor and serve the Lord, helping people come to Christ, helping churches establish and grow a bus ministry. Dear friends, we have seen firsthand their work and their labor for the Lord here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Let's pray for the Bates, please. Would you pray with me? Oh, I'm sorry, brother. Yes, the missionaries. Forgive me, I'm sorry. Our missionaries here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, the U.S. missionaries that we support, Brother Don Chitty, Michael Blake, Gary Mann, Jason Seavers, Mike Ferris, Ben Mayo, the FBN radio station, Ms. Tracy Harjo, Jeremy Rowland, the Joseph Academy, Alan Davis, Baba Goins, Tim Cart, David Roth, and then Brother Bates. And then, of course, we have our foreign missionaries, Brother Courtney Godso, James Driggers, Arthur Harris, George Milgram, Joe Wynn, Gardner Gentry, our 20 national pastors that serve in Malawi, 5 international pastors with Help Ministries, Chad Inman, A.I. Avajon, Brother P.D. Cherian, Alex Buford, James Baxter, Mr. Gage Gilbert, Brother Bob DeWitt, John Summers, Stephen Sandala, and then Colton Davis are our missionaries there. Thank you for handing me that there, sir. Let's take time to pray. As we come to the Lord, remember that we're coming through a veil that was rent in twain by the hands of God when the blood of Christ was shed, that we may have access to the throne of grace, that we may find help in our time of need. Let's pray for the Bates family. Let's pray for our pastor as he's away, and pray for Brother David as he preaches the word of God to us tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble in thy name at the meeting place of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ. Father, I thank thee for the blood that was shed that makes us acceptable in thy sight, justified, perfect. Thank you that we're redeemed by the blood of our heavenly Savior. Tonight, Lord, we want to come into thy presence. We want to humble ourselves before thee and ask your hand of blessing on this meeting. Bless our brother as he comes to preach thy word. Lord, calm his heart and his mind. The message and words that you've laid upon his heart, would he be faithful to deliver them unto us, dear God, and may we hear what you have to say to us. May we feast on your word tonight. May we find the nourishment we need for our souls, the help that we need for tomorrow. Lord, thank you for this midweek prayer service. Thank you for this midweek service, dear God, where we can come together and we can encourage one another. We can sing hymns and we can hear preaching. We can fellowship. We can be fed and helped. Dear God, help us to do that this night. Bless Brother David. Encourage him. Father, be with our pastor and his dear wife. Give them a time of enjoyment with their family there in Maine. Lord, give them some rest. Help them to love on their children, their grandbaby. Lord, I pray for their safety as they travel. Lord, I thank you that in your sovereign hand and the blessings you've poured out upon Lighthouse Baptist Church with this new bus that they're going to pick up or new to us, I pray, God, that you give Pastor Hart safety and wisdom and grace as he drives and Miss Shelley as she follows along. Lord, I pray that everything would run well and they would get back safely with that bus, that we can keep the wheels rolling here and pick up new children, pick up the faithful children, pick up families that'll come and hear your word and be taught and trained in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please bless our pastor and encourage him as he's away. Lord, help him get back safely with that bus. We pray for Miss Odell. Dear Father, I do not know the physical needs that she has, but I know that she's in and out of the hospital. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd please touch her. Heal her body, dear God. Give her strength in her heart and her mind and her soul. May the doctors and the physicians have wisdom, and may her family help her in all that they can do. Bless Miss Sharon Odell. Lord, we pray for the Kogar family. We pray, dear Lord, for those members of the family that are away from you. Dear God, if they're not saved, I pray tonight, dear Lord Jesus, that the truth of the gospel would sink into their hearts and souls. Patrick and Cody, Lord God, would you please help those men? God, convict them and draw them to thy side. Lord, those that are sick and those that are battling the flu or COVID or whatever it may be there in the Kogar family, I pray that you'd please touch them. Heal their bodies, dear Lord. Raise them in a measure of health. Raise them back up, dear Lord, that they may serve thee and love thee. We do pray for Miss Sandy tonight. We miss her and Brother Michael. Lord, I pray that you'd please comfort them and encourage them as they bear such a load and carry such a load for her family and her loved ones. We pray for Mr. Edmonds, dear God. I believe he's had surgery on his hip. We pray for his soon recovery and the therapy that has to take place. Dear God, would you please touch his body? Would you please encourage Miss Sandy and help her to know that there's a church that's praying for her and praying for her family? Lord, I pray for Miss Robin Hatcher. I do not know the needs, dear Lord, but I pray that you'd please touch that lady, that you'd please heal her body, that you would encourage her heart and soul, that in some way you working through Miss Hatcher and in Miss Hatcher, dear Lord, that she would be drawn close to Christ and others would come to know thee and thy saving hand through her life. We pray for Brother Lafferty tonight, dear Lord. He's faithful to always ask prayer for his wife and for his family, his brothers and brothers-in-laws. And dear Lord God, I pray that you'd please encourage our brother, touch his family, bless them and encourage them. Lord, we do pray for Miss Melissa tonight. Help her, Father. We pray for Mr. James. Lord, pray that you'd please help him, dear Lord, to recover from the pneumonia that he has. And Lord, I pray that Brother Austin Cook would be a witness and a testimony to that man of your saving grace and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to touch a heart and change him and lead him. Lord, would you please help each one of us to be very soul conscious and mindful of the people that we work with. We pray for Mr. James tonight, Lord. We pray for Miss Perkins. We thank you, dear God, for your faithfulness here. We pray for Mr. Nate Mayo. Dear God, touch his body. You can heal him, Father. You are the great physician, dear Lord. You can heal. We ask that you'd please do that. She has an unspoken prayer request, dear Lord, and there were other hands that were raised as well. I do not have them all wrote down, dear God, but those requests that are so very near and dear to our hearts that we cannot speak them in a public setting, Lord, I pray that you would reach down from heaven. You would comfort those that have unspoken requests. You would challenge those that have unspoken requests. You would meet the needs in each one of those cases and each one of those concerns, dear God, as only you can. That your peace and your grace would be evident. We do pray tonight, Lord, for those that raise their hand with unspoken requests. We pray for Miss Vicky as she travels down to Princeton. Lord God, would you please touch her body? Help the injections to work in her hip and her back, dear Lord, that she'd have some relief and that there would be a healing that takes place there. Please comfort her and encourage her. Lord, continue to bring sweet peace to that family as they rest upon you in the trying time they've been through in the passing of her mother. Lord God, we pray for little Roman Fox. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done in that little boy's heart and his life. We pray that you would continue working, Lord God, that all that come in contact with him would know that you are an almighty God that can hear and answer prayer. Would you please, dear God, bless that family. Be with his mama. Give her strength and grace. Lord, would you flood that little boy's heart and soul tonight, I pray. Heal him, dear God, and raise him up to health. We pray for Brother Joe. His stepdaddy, dear God, would you please help that man as he's fractured his back? Dear God, you know all the details of that situation. Lord God, would you please touch him? I pray for Miss Stormy's brother as well with his eye and the injury that he suffered. Lord God, would you please work in that man's life? Father, we ask all of these things, not because we know best, but we ask all these things because you told us to come to your throne. You told us to come in our time of need. And Lord, we are needy people. We can't fix any of these problems. We can't do anything about any of this. All we can do is pray and ask you, dear Lord, to work. Help us to see it. Lord God, where we don't see, help us to live by faith. Help us to love you. Lord God, would you start a fire here at this church in our hearts and our souls? God, would revival start that would change our families? It would change our homes. Would you breathe on us, dear God, your breath from heaven that would change Lighthouse Baptist Church, that would change Daniels, West Virginia, that would spread throughout the community, dear Lord Jesus? For one reason and one reason only, that all the earth may know that thou art God, and that your Son is the Savior, and that you change lives. Lord God, revive thy work. In the midst of the years, revive thy work, dear God. We love you. We thank you for salvation full and free in Christ. We thank you for this night. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for the preaching. Bless our dear brother Bates. Encourage him and his wife and his daughters. They labor for you. Thank you, dear Lord, for their faithful service here when they were with us. Please continue to bless their efforts in the bus ministry as they serve you day by day. Help us to love you the way we should. We pray all this in the name that is above every name. In Christ's precious name we pray.
Will you stand one more time and turn to page 162. To God be the glory. Page 162.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So love He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Let's all shake hands.
My friend from work's here tonight. Walter, he was picking at me saying something about he's sleeping out in his vehicle and almost forgot to, you know, I guess he may, almost didn't come in time or something. And it reminded me of a joke, I guess it's a joke, but it might be the truth. Curtis Hudson was preaching, and he was talking about all the people that were sleeping during the service, and he said that those people don't bother him. He knows those people trust him. So if you would, just turn to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. She's going to play a song that goes along with what I'm planning to preach, and I know I sung it actually this Sunday, but it's been on my heart this week. So, yeah. Go ahead. You may wonder why I sing His praise every chance that I get. You may wonder why I lift my hand and why I shout amen. You may wonder why tears fill my eyes when I hear the old rugged cross. You may wonder why I live for Him and serve Him at any cost. But if you knew what my life was like before Jesus came and made things right and saved me from the mess that I was in, and if you only knew where I would be had it not been for Calvary, then my friend, you would understand. Looking back on how far I've come and how much He has blessed, all the joys that He has given me despite my sinful past, no greater friend have I ever known than this one who walks by my side. And oh, what a difference since He came into my life. And if you knew what my life was like before Jesus came and made things right and saved me from the mess that I was in, and if you only knew where I would be had it not been for Calvary, then my friend, you would understand. Then my friend, you would understand. Amen. I hope to help you to understand a little bit more. If you would with me, I said turn to Acts chapter 9, I believe, but Acts chapter 9 is where we'll be at. And we're going to talk for a little bit about Saul and the conversion that was made in his life. And it reminds me of my own life. Amen. And as we read, it should remind us of our lives if you're here and you're saved. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 9, and I think we'll read down to about verse number 20. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of his way, of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Let's pray together. I need your prayers. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me tonight, dear Lord. Lord, you've been with me many times as I've tried to preach. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me tonight. God, I just pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, Lord. I'm so thankful that you never leave me nor forsake me, Lord. And you know that I'm asking for your power tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help guide me. Lord, I pray that you would keep David out of this message, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would guide my tongue, Lord. You know that I can say things that I shouldn't say, Lord. I pray that you'd guide me. Help me to say things that would bring honor and glory to your name, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd give me discernment and keep me from saying things that wouldn't bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I just love you, and I thank you for this opportunity, dear God. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us tonight. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I wanted to speak with you just for a little bit about Saul. Here is just one of three accounts of Saul's conversion mentioned in the book of Acts. If you don't mind, let me get a drink real quick. I'd like to start off with a little description of what kind of man Saul was before his conversion. Look with me at a few verses here in Acts chapter 7. Most of what I'll have you look at is in Acts. Acts chapter number 7, it gives a little description here of him as we see our brother Stephen suffering. In verse number 54, it says, When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, this is talking about Stephen. I know that he had just got done preaching a message that cut these people to the heart, these Pharisees. It had offended them. The sword, I talk about in class a lot of times, a sword, it divides. A sword defends. There's things that a sword has. And when Stephen was preaching, he was wielding the sword, amen. And it cut these Pharisees to the heart, as it said in 54. In verse number 55, But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. This man Saul was one of, if not the coordinator of this attack on Stephen. He was the mastermind behind what they were to do here. And they laid their coats at his feet. But really, this wasn't just an attack on an individual, but rather the church. And let's look at another instance here in Acts chapter 1. I'm trying to paint the picture of who Saul was. There we see him as being the one that coordinated the slaughter of the martyr Stephen. And here we see in Acts chapter number 1, it says, And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. That word consenting means to be pleased together with others, or to be approved together with others. So this is a plan, or to applaud. It also means that. Let's continue on. In Acts chapter number 8, verse number 2, it says, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. That word havoc, I know that some of y'all may know what it means, because we use this word quite often still yet when you use the term, I'm going to wreak havoc on somebody or something. I've got a 5-year-old little girl who's getting ready to be 6, and she's wreaked havoc on our house before, amen. And I've got a little brother that she's training really well. But havoc, this is not like, this ain't just, you know, knocking over the bowl of Cheetos. This is a little more than that. This means to dishonor, or to spot and defile, or treat shamefully, or to injure, to devastate. And that's what Saul here was doing here. I pray that if I say Paul, y'all would follow along with me, that I'm meaning Saul. I don't know if anyone else has that trouble sometimes. But Saul, he was doing this. And then also that word hailing, which means to draw out or to drag them before a judge or a prison or for punishment. So they were dragging people out of their house and taking them. And I'm afraid if the church don't get busy in America, we could be in that direction here long before long. But that's why we've got to be adamant about being a witness and spreading the word of God. But here later after conversion, later in his own testimony, in his own words, Saul described himself in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 verse 15 as the chief of sinners. So I think I've tried to speak a lot here about what kind of man he was. Saul was no doubt one of the most sinful men in the Bible, and definitely in the New Testament, possibly the entire Bible. Saul was. Let's look back at our text again. We read Acts chapter number 9. Let's look back there again. I want to break this down just a little bit more. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Now I want to talk about this verse 1 here, this breathing out threatenings and slaughter. I always, as a child, you know, I've heard this. I got a message from the man that was a bus worker that knocked on our door. I got a message from him today. He told me happy birthday. And I said, "Hey, brother, I'm going to probably speak about you just for a moment." You know, there was somebody that came by and knocked on our door and invited us to church. And this August, I think will be 30 years ago, I got saved in the downstairs junior church. Amen. But I've heard this story spoke about my whole life in this church. And I've thought about this breathing out threatenings. And y'all forgive me, but, you know, this is just how my simple mind thinks. I always thought of the big bad wolf, you know, huffing and puffing and blowing the walls down to get the three little piggies. We won't say, but you know, to get the three little, you know, get the piggies from out of the house. I always thought of Paul just being like the big bad wolf coming through there. But no, that's absolutely not the right the way to think of this. This breathing out threatenings. I'm not Greek. Y'all know I'm hillbilly, but this Greek word is pronounced epneo, and it means to breathe in or to inhale the life-giving breath. Can you be with me just for a minute and think about this? Persecuting the church is what kept Saul going. That was his life-giving breath. He wasn't just throwing a temper tantrum. This was ingrained into this person. Have you ever seen someone that just seemed to live to do wrong? That was Saul. Someone so strongly against God that it seemed no good thing could come from that person. That was Saul. Someone that there seemed to be no hope for. That was Saul. Saul was this person. He was also, get this though, he was a very religious person. He was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin court. We've been studying about that in class, the Sanhedrin court and the Pharisees and the difference between Sadducees, Pharisees, Sanhedrin court, just different things like that. We've been talking about that a little bit more. But he was a member of that Sanhedrin court. By birth, he was a Jew. By conviction, a Pharisee. By citizen, a Roman. And by education, a Greek. And after his conversion, by grace, a Christian. That was the description of Saul. Now I want to look here for a moment at the direction of Saul in Acts chapter number 9, verse 2. It says, and desired of him letters. He's talking about he went into the high priest and he desired of that high priest letters to Damascus to the synagogues that he might, or that he, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Of this way. You know what that's referring to? This way is referring to the way. John chapter number 14, verse 6, many of us know that one by heart. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus saying, I am the way. This bothered the Pharisees that he preached that. You know, we've been studying in Acts, oddly enough. We've been studying in Acts in the young adult class and about how Peter preached with boldness after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He preached with boldness, and the Pharisees did not like that. Sadducees did not like that. They talked amongst themselves, like, what can we do? I mean, he did raise that guy up that had been out there begging for money for all that time. So then they just sent him on their way and told him to keep his mouth shut. And they went and prayed, the church did, and we know that story. But the Pharisees were so bothered by this. You know, just like they tried to mock the people of Antioch later in the book of Acts, we'll see that, where they tried to mock the people of Antioch with a little nickname, a little pet name of Christians. That was not a good term at that point in time. It is a good term, but I'm saying they were trying to mean it as a bad term, as a slanderous term. The way was no doubt a group of believers that Saul wanted to persecute. He wanted to find anyone that was in the way, and he wanted to make sure that he got them out of the way, even if it meant death. However, Saul was also in a way himself. He was also heading in a direction. Proverbs 14, verse 12, for the sake of time, we won't turn there, but Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Saul was heading in this direction. How many times have I been in the direction of sin unto death? How many times have you maybe been in the direction of sin unto death? Saul was heading in this direction. No doubt the direction Saul was headed was the way the devil had deceived him to take. The Bible talks about in Luke, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. You know, there's so many ways that a person can go to hell. There's only one way to heaven. I love Brother Curtis Hudson, I listen to him a lot. I love him. And some of y'all may have heard this story. He worked for the post office. My mother worked for the post office. He worked for the post office. And they like to pick on him a little bit too. And he would come into work and they said, "What you preach on, preacher?" You know, the co-workers and stuff. They may do that. They do it to me. I don't know if they do it to Dad. They probably do it to you too. "What'd you preach on, preacher?" And he said, "Well, I preached on how to get to heaven." And they said, "Oh, really?" And then one of the ladies there, one of the mail carriers, she spoke up. She said, "Well, I kind of think it's like this. There's several different ways to heaven. It's like today when I come to work, I went down this way." And and she began to explain how she came. And then she said, "And you, Curtis, when you came, you come up through this way and back forth and so forth." And then they said, "And Tommy over here, he came this way. And it's kind of going to be like that, I believe." Curtis said, "Well, that sounds pretty good, but except for when we die, we're not going to the post office." And that's something to think about. There's only one way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. I'm sure it seemed right to him. Saul was a religious man, but religion is not salvation. He had a direction he was headed. He was in motion to persecute the church on his way to Damascus. And while I was studying this, I was thinking about the fact that we are all heading in a way. Each and every person in here today are heading in a way. Now, we may be saved or somebody might be saved, but you realize that you're still heading in a direction. You're either heading somewhere for God or you're heading away from God or you're just sitting still. Right now, this very second, our families are heading in a direction. You realize that? Your family is on a road somewhere right now. Your friends, your neighbors, they're on a road somewhere right now. Hey, this church as a whole, our church is on a road right now. Will it be on a road that pleases God? Will your family be on a road that pleases God? God, in His provision, as Jehovah Jireh, has given us tools to use to help us get in the right way. Amen? The way to guide our families, the way to guide our friends to Christ, our neighbors, and the church even. The Bible says in 119, 105, I'm just going to quote just part of the verse for the sake of time, but His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You know, a lamp, I always joke around with my class about coon hunting. I always try to figure out a way to get coon hunting into the message because I love to coon hunt. But the coon hunter, I did anyway, but coon hunting, I feel for the old timers that had to use the lanterns, because the lanterns, you know, when your dogs were treed, if you didn't see no eyeballs, somebody was climbing the tree, okay? and with a stick, or you was doing something, you was going to try to knock that coon out, because you couldn't shine out there real far. You could only see right there around you. That's what the Word of God is a lamp. We can't always just project out there and see our future. We don't know what our future may hold. But what we do have is a set of principles and a lamp that we can walk day to day and say, Lord, I don't know what step tomorrow holds, but I know right now that I can trust in the Lord with all mine heart and lean not into mine own understandings. I can in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my path. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, it also talks about he that walketh with wise men shall be what? Church? Shall be wise. We see Saul's description as a wicked, evil man. We see his direction. He's on a slick road to hell. But luckily, he's got a divine encounter coming his way. One that pivots the whole church. In verse number 3 and 4, it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I would like to, for the sake of time, you mark this, write this reference down. In Acts chapter number 26, verse 12, he's talking to King Agrippa, and he says to King Agrippa, he's giving his testimony, and I'm just paraphrasing this, so please just forgive me, but he spoke about the light being much brighter than the sun at noon. In midday, it says, sun at midday in the Middle East, that's probably pretty bright, amen? But this light was brighter than that. Sounds like a divine encounter to me. He spoke about the light, I've already said that, and he heard a voice from heaven speaking to him, asking him those questions about why persecutest thou me? You know, I still remember, I spoke about it earlier, I still remember the divine encounter that I had here in this church as a 4-year-old boy. I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit convicting my heart, and I was a sinner in need of a Savior. It wasn't a big bright light. I tell you, it was a voice of a leather-lunged preacher, though, as a preacher downstairs in the junior church that was still preaching on hell, you know, and preaching about how us as sinners, we are in need of a Savior, someone that can intervene. A divine encounter had to take place. And that's what he preached about. And I asked God to save me that day. I realized that my heart was in need of a Savior. Look at Acts chapter number 9, verse 5. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Here we see evidence that the Holy Spirit had been working on Saul. He was kicking against the pricks. The sharp conviction that kept poking at his heart. Perhaps, I was thinking about this while I was studying, I don't know for sure, he consented unto Stephen's death, but maybe, you know, the Bible talks about that there's pleasure in sin for a season. For just a short little while, there might be some pleasure in your sin, but you know what, sometime to another nighttime come around to Paul, and I think maybe as he was trying to peel his head at night, maybe he looked and he thought about Stephen, how Stephen called out and said, "Forgive him, Father. Please don't lay this into their account." And he's turning around in the bed at night, tossing and turning. Maybe the last thing he seen before he closed his eyes each night was this man. He was fighting against Christ, or he was fighting against that Holy Spirit conviction. Saul was not saved at this time, but we as Christians are to earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. Dad told me that Brother Davis has been speaking of that some. Us as Christians, I know Saul was not saved at this point in time, but us as Christians are to be earnestly contending for the faith. But I'm afraid sometimes we are earnestly contending against the faith. Like Saul, we fight back against God's will. We fight against the Holy Spirit convictions. Hey, we did like those preachers did. You remember when we, well, not the preachers, but the Pharisees did. You remember when Stephen was preaching, said that they did something. They plugged their ears and they cut them to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Oftentimes I feel like maybe we plug our ears to the Holy Spirit convicting us, or maybe to the voice of our leather lung preacher preaching something and that might plow right up to our tater patch and convict us. Amen. And convict us, and then we get upset about it maybe. I don't know for certain. I know how I've been before. Amen. Can I get a witness to that? And I've more than once fought against the Holy Spirit, earnestly contending against the faith. But this time was different for Saul. This time, because now he's had a divine encounter. He's got a decision. Let's look at it together. We've talked about his description. I've talked about his direction. I've talked about the divine encounter. Now we're going to talk about this decision that he made in Acts chapter number 9, verse 6. As Miss Inma comes to the piano, would you? Acts chapter number 9, verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." If you would just play "I Surrender All" for a little bit, just softly as I continue this last point here. Saul made the decision to throw in the towel, and instead of fighting against, he would now fight for Christ. Instead of kicking against the pricks, he would now endure hardness as a good soldier. Instead of kicking against the pricks, he would now put on the whole armor of God. Instead of kicking against the pricks, he would now fight the good fight of faith. Instead of kicking against the pricks, he would now be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And with the grace of God and his forgiveness of sins, which is my favorite part, the chief of sinners can now write most of the New Testament and bring the gospel to the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel as a chosen vessel unto God. I'm sure he still had scars in his mind. In Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13, a lot of times preachers will use this and say, "Well, you can't think about the revivals of yesteryear. You can't think about the people that got saved of yesteryear." And I agree to that 100%. But here, I while studying all this and thinking about all this, and I read that verse, in Philippians 3:13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight that there's no case too hard for God. Do you have a Saul out there that you're praying for, church? Is there a Saul, that somebody that you know of that's in your family maybe, that's someone that's in your life that you could touch, or you could say, "Hey, this is a Saul. This is someone that's a hard case." God can crack that hard case. God can reach that person. Let's bow our heads just for a moment here. Is there anyone in here that could say with uplifted hand, and I'm not looking because it's between you and God, but could you, with an uplifted hand, say, "Hey, I haven't fully surrendered. I'm kicking against the pricks. Maybe you're holding on to something that God has convicted you over and over and over again. Hey, I want to try to talk you into, or I want to try to encourage you to throw in the towel, but not to get out of the fight, but just to switch who you're fighting. Stop fighting against the ministry, and stop fighting against God. Stop fighting against the Holy Spirit, and earnestly contend for the faith." If you would, just stand with me. If God spoke to your heart during the message, I know that I'm aware of the time and we're not too bad over, but if God spoke to your heart, would you come around this altar and fully surrender to God? Maybe you've done that before, but are you still kicking against the pricks? I know me in my own life, I don't always submit to the Holy Spirit when it comes and whispers something in my ear. What page is this on, Miss? 308. If you would turn there with me, it's page number 308. I surrender all. If the Lord spoke to you, I ask you to please come forward and pray. As we begin singing. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Appreciate y'all guys letting me preach tonight, and appreciate the opportunity from Pastor. He asked me to fill a pulpit for him, and while he was out, y'all be in prayer for Pastor. He's up in Maine, and we'll be traveling a lot of hours this weekend. Let's pray that God would protect him and watch over him and guide him and his wife as they're on the roads. And just thank y'all guys for being here at church tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Lafferty, if you would, please just dismiss us in prayer. Thank you.